हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् दिस् इस् आटम् सीसन् मेण्ट् फार् ओन्ली वर्षिप् अण्ड् प्रेयर् अफ्कोर्स् स्टडियिङ्ग् शास्त्रम् ईस् दि बेस्ट् आफ् बेस्ट् फार्म् आफ् वर्षिप् सो इट् इस् अ टैम् यु केन् इन्वोक् दि ग्रेस् अण्ड् प्रे फार् एव्रिथिङ्ग् वाट् एवर् यु वाण्ट् And all your righteous wishes and prayers will be fulfilled if you pray this season. I mean, that's how people will pray. You know, so, Navratri is so important for us. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Before even we start, when we are chanting, the chanting itself, the mantras themselves, there's a prayer. You know, Ava Purasthata, Ava Dakshin, Ava means may protect. May protect me from all sides, there's a prayer. And then protection means you pray for twofold protection. One is relative protection and absolute protection. How can you be relatively protected? Only if you live a life of dharma, isn't it? So you pray for relatively being protected. You know, all the well-being of the physical body, mind and senses, everything. And one other one is praying for absolute protection, which is knowledge. Both two forms of protections you are praying for. Our mantra itself is good. So before you start the chanting, for you to become focused, you pray intensely that Bhagavan should bless all of you with a good physical health, good mental health, long life. Also, pray. Nothing wrong in praying for. Pray, you know, you can pray for long life and mental well-being, intellectual sharpness, emotional well-being, the sense that you should be emotionally balanced. You know, because you have no say over your own emotions, how you have become a slave of your own emotions. Therefore, intellectual sharpness and commitment to live a life, commitment to Bhagavan, commitment to study of Shastram, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, and then you pray for the top. You should be blessed with everything that you want in this life to make this life meaningful, complete and successful. So pray that, have that prayer, once you become focused, then chant. Then you won't be distracted, you won't be disturbed. You won't mechanically chant. Even if you do not know the meaning, you'll try to be with that meaning what you know the value of what you have prayed for. May Bhagavan, may Bhagavati, Parashakti bless all of us with all that we need to make this life complete, to make this life meaningful, to make this life purposeful, to make this life successful. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Ganana Am Tva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kave Namo Pamasravastamam Yanaya vidmahe kanyakumari dhimahe tanno durgya prachodayat Om Shanti 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 Om Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवद्वर्यमा शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुरुक्रमः
ನಮೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ವಾಯೋ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸಿ ತ್ವಮೇವ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವದಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಋತಂ ವದಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಸತ್ಯಂ ವದಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ತನ್ಮಾಮವತು ತದ್ವಕ್ತಾರಮವತು ಅವತು ಮಾಂ ಅವತು ವಕ್ತಾರಂ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಅಸನ್ನೇವ ಸ ಭವತಿ ಅಸನ್ನೇವ ಸ ಭವತಿ ಅಸದ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೇತಿ ವೇದ ಚೇತ್ ಸದ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೇತಿ ವೇದ ಚೇತ್ ಅಸ್ತಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೇತಿ ಚೇದ್ವೇದ ಅಸ್ತಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೇತಿ ಚೇದ್ವೇದ ಸಂತಮೇನಂ ತತೋ ವಿದುರಿತಿ ತಸ್ಯೇಷ ಏವ ಶಾರೀರ ಆತ್ಮ ಯಃ ಪೂರ್ವಸ್ಯ ಅಥಾತೋ ನು ಪ್ರಶ್ನಾಃ ಉತ ವಿದ್ವಾನಮುಂ ಲೋಕಂ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ಕಶ್ಚನ ಗಚ್ಛತಿ.
ಯುಡ್ ವೇಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಫಿನಿಶ್. ಓಕೆ.
ಉತ ವಿದ್ವಾನಮುಂ ಲೋಕಂ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ಕಶ್ಚನ ಗಚ್ಛತಿ. ಆಹೋ ವಿದ್ವಾನಮುಂ ಲೋಕಂ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ಆಹೋ ವಿದ್ವಾನಮುಂ ಲೋಕಂ ಪ್ರೇತ್ಯ ಕಶ್ಚಿತ್ ಸಮಶ್ನುತ ಕಶ್ಚಿತ್ ಸಮಶ್ನುತ ಸೋಕಾಮಯತ ಬಹುಶ್ಯಾಂ ಪ್ರಜಾಯೇತಿ ಸತಪೋತಪ್ಯತ ಸತಪಸ್ತಪ್ತ್ವಾ ಇದಗುಂ ಸರ್ವಮಸೃಜತ ಇದಗುಂ ಸರ್ವಮಸೃಜತ ಯದಿದಂ ಯದಿದಂ ಕಿಂಚ ಯದಿದಂ ಕಿಂಚ ತತ್ಸೃಷ್ಟ್ವಾ ತದೇವಾನು ಪ್ರಾವಿಶತ್ ತದೇವಾನು ಪ್ರಾವಿಶತ್ ತದನು ಪ್ರವಿಶ್ಯ ತದನು ಪ್ರವಿಶ್ಯ ಸಚ್ಚತ್ಯಚ್ಚಾಭವತ್ ಸಚ್ಚತ್ಯಚ್ಚಾಭವತ್ ನಿರುಕ್ತ
నిరుక్తం చ నిరుక్తం చ నిలయనం చ నిలయనం చ నిలయనం చ నిలయనం చ విజ్ఞానం చ విజ్ఞానం చ సత్యం చ అమృతం చ సత్యమభవత్ యతిదం కించ తత్ సత్యమిత్యాచక్షతే తత్ సత్యమిత్యాచక్షతే తదప్యేష శ్లోకో భవతి Analysis of the five layers of personality helps one arrive at pure consciousness, being the self of the individual, and that pure consciousness, which is arrived at as the innermost reality, the content of the even Anandamaya, is in fact Brahman. The Panchakosha Prakriya does not really show you Brahman, reveal Brahman. Panchakosha Prakriya helps you to negate what Atma is not. Panchakosha Prakriya helps you negate what Atma is not. As you come negating everything as Anatma at different levels, and what is there finally non-negatable, abadhitaya, what is there as non-negatable, unnegatable, as unnegatable is in fact the pure consciousness. That pure consciousness is the self. So the pure consciousness is the Brahman. Self, Atma, is the Brahman. What is Brahman? The reality of the universe. The truth of the entire universe is arrived at as the self, as the Atma, as the content of Aham. And that consciousness, Brahman the consciousness, which is the self, is not available for objectification, not available as an object of knowledge, it is formless. It is not a form or sound or taste. It is not being any object, not being explicable, not being available for sense perception, thought perception, not being available for description through words. Any ordinary mind would immediately conclude that such a thing is non-existent. If something is not perceptible, something is not available even for thought perception, and if something is not available even for any description at all, there is no way of arriving at such a thing. Therefore, such a thing may be, it's not existent. Therefore, Upanishad begins this next anuvaka. After the Panchakosha Prakriya, Panchakosha Analysis, the fifth anuvaka, the sixth anuvakam, the sixth paragraph begins saying, the one who says Brahman, the consciousness, is not there. One who says Brahman is not, such a person is the one who denies his own existence. Saying Brahman is not is saying as good as saying I am not. And thereafter, the one who says Brahman is, in fact, he is the really existent person. This is the first meaning. And we also saw the word asat. Brahma asannevasa bhavati asat brahmeti vedachet. If a person thinks Brahman is not, then he becomes asat purushaha adharmavan. Because if a person does not, cannot believe in the existence of reality, then he cannot be definite about his end being the very reality, moksha in him of the reality. One, the end is not very clear, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is not there, the shastram becomes irrelevant, shastram becomes redundant. One, the shastram doesn't serve any purpose for such a person, then he cannot know the value of dharma, he cannot even live a life of dharma. Therefore, that person will be, for artha kamas will become the ultimate ends, then he will compromise with dharma also in situations, therefore he will be adharmavan. Such a person is an asuraha. I told you already, last class. I explained the meaning of the word asusu ramate iti asuraha. Then asun rati iti ramaha. Asushu ramate iti asuraha. Asun rati iti asuraha. And he becomes, all his priority will be only enjoyment of sensory pleasures. Such a person is called asuraha, we saw. And the one who believes in the existence of Brahman and can have purusharth nischaya, then he can be committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the Brahman, the truth, and thereby he will respect shastram as the pramanam, as a means of knowledge. Then he will study shastram. Studying shastram will help him in the right track, that he will know dharma, dharma, viveka, will have dharma, dharma, viveka. And he will know the value of living life of dharma, thereby he will be sat purushaha, dharmavan purushaha, dharmikaha, sadhu. He is a spiritual person, he will be a religious person, he will be an ethical person, and he is a karma yogi, he can live a life of karma yoga. He is a sadhu. Okay? The purusharta nischaya is not there, it is not possible for one to live a life of karma yoga. What is that which makes one really live a life of karma yoga? A karma yogi is really a mahatma. Karma yogi is as great as a sannyasi also. Because there are only two lifestyles. You all must have studied in third chapter Bhagavad Gita. Hope you remember those two, the third chapter, and where lokesvin dvividha nishta pura prokta mayanagha karma yogena yoginam jnana yoga sankhyana jnana yogena sankhyanam. Hope you remember this. There are only two lifestyles, and those who are ready for the jnanam, they are prepared mentally and they can choose to live a life of sannyasa. And such people will be living a contemplative life which will result in the ascertained vision of the reality which is moksha. Ascertainment of the swarupam of the truth, reality, all that it needs is contemplative disposition of the mind and the contemplation. Contemplation alone is required for ascertained vision of the truth. What do you need for moksha? Ascertained doubt-free vision of the non-duality of the truth, oneness of the truth. But ascertainment needs what? Ascertainment is possible only if you are contemplative. And for you to be contemplative, you should know what is to contemplate on. How can you may have contemplative disposition of the mind, but if you do not know what is to contemplate on, still what will you do with that mind? Therefore, for the one who, the sannyasi must be the one who knows what to contemplate on, and thereby one who has contemplative disposition of the mind, and one who is contemplative. One who is contemplative upon the sarupam of the truth, contemplative of the truth as one's own self, that means knowing, having the contemplative mind and also knowing what is to contemplate on. One who lives a life of contemplation, sannyasi, and which should result in ascertained vision of the truth, which is moksha. And for that contemplative disposition of the mind, one can make effort, one has to earn that, one has to make efforts to have that contemplative disposition of the mind. It is not possible for one to have such the disposition, mental disposition, overnight, easily, effortlessly, without anything. How to have that mind? One has to initiate one's efforts to have that contemplative disposition of the mind. And to have the effort, one needs grace. I told you all, this is again, here comes the grace. It is very important for ones to Ishvara Anugraha, Bhagavad Anugraha, who have that contemplative disposition of the mind. And to have the grace of Bhagavan, again, one has to live a life of Dharma. And you will know, you will make all efforts to live a life of Dharma only if you know the value of Dharma. You will live, to know the value of Dharma, you should know the value of knowledge of the truth. Therefore, only when a person knows the value of knowledge of the truth, when a person knows it is the knowledge of the truth alone is moksha. There is no freedom. All the bondage is ignorance, so it is knowledge which is moksha. If that is very clear, he knows the value of the knowledge of the truth, thereby he becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and such a person, to have the knowledge, for the knowledge to rise, the antahkarana must be prepared, and that preparedness of antahkarana implies what? Mind being pure and steady, that mental purity and steadiness will be impossible. There will not be steadiness if there is friction, if there is prick, if the person is a split personality. Therefore, for him, one must be conflict-free minded. Conflict-free minded is the steady-minded, pure-minded. The conflict-free mind is possible only if the thought, word and deed are in alignment. If the thought, word and deed will be in alignment, the thought, word and deed will be identical only if you are committed to live a life of Dharma. And commitment to live a life of Dharma is possible only if you make effort, isn't it? Always only if you know the value of Dharma. And only then, this is why we say karma yogi means the one who has purushartha nischaya, one who knows the value of knowledge, one who knows the importance of having pure mind and pure and steady mind, one who knows the value of Dharma, and one who is committed to live a life of Dharma, and one who is always prayerful and worshipful, seeking Bhagavan's grace to bless him with the strength to be able to live a life of Dharma. Therefore, he is ethical, the one who is ethical, religious and spiritual. And therefore, the one who is a sadhu is a karma yogi. Only two lifestyles. Because a karma yogi alone can become a sannyasi mentally, one can go through sannyasa. Not the one who is wearing the dress, okay? For everyone, every individual has to go through sannyasa mentally at one stage or the other in one's life. At some time or the other, one has to go through sannyasa mentally. Everyone should have the contemplative disposition or not? Who is the one who wears the oranges alone? No. Every human being ultimately should have contemplative disposition of the mind. Everyone should become contemplative one time or the other in one's lifetime. And for one to have that To be contemplative, one must have that disposition for which one must have lived a life of karma yoga with the purusharth nischaya. Is it clear? It's very important. Therefore, karma yoga is another lifestyle which should precede, which begins. Now, only through karma yoga, one can really become contemplative later on. Doesn't matter whether a person wears saffron robes or not. Okay, that totally focused mind, all the only thing that is sought is knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. Let's be all the time what you want is knowledge of the truth. That commitment to the knowledge. And then the disposition of the mind. All that is possible only when you live a clean life of karma yoga. Therefore, and living a life of karma yoga is possible. One can become a karma yogi is a real spiritual person. Karma yogi is a sadhu. Karma yogi is a, you know, ethical and religious person. One can be a karma yogi only if you have purushartha nischaya. You believe in the existence of Brahman. Okay? He is called Satpurushaha. Asti Brahmeti Veda Chet. If a person thinks, if he knows there is Brahman, he believes, then he becomes Satpurushaha. Means what? Santam Enam Tataha Viduhu. Other people, others consider him as a Satpurushaha. Santam Enam, he thinks he is a saintly person. We saw all those things last class itself. I have, but I can't help, I had to repeat. And in this context, the student has some questions. Anuprashnaha. Okay, there are some anuprashnaha. Anuprashnaha means, I told you already, the questions related to the subject matter which is discussed here. The student has a doubt. He is asking, what happens to the person who dies ignorant, and what happens to the person who dies as a wise person? After the death, what happens to wise person? After the death, what happens to the ignorant person? Because ignorant person, wise person, all of them, all that is here, all the living beings, non-living things, all that is here, not only human beings, other beings, all of them have come into existence from Brahman, means everything should go back to Brahman. Everything has to resolve back into Brahman only. Because that is the rule, isn't it? The law is, what is the law here? That anything which comes into existence from a given thing should go back to the thing when it loses its namarupa. The effect should go back to merge in its own cause. Wave should resolve in its ocean, because wave has come into existence from ocean. Therefore, wave has to resolve in ocean. Any ornament melted should become what? Again, only gold. Therefore, any effect which is born of a given cause should go back to its own cause. Means, all these wise people, the so-called wise person, who is also product of Brahman, and the so-called ignorant person, who is also product of Brahman, because everything here is this only, Brahman is the only cause. The only karanam, jagat karanam, is Brahman. So everything should go back to Brahman. Means, what happens to ignorant person? Does he go back to Brahman or not? What happens to ignorant person? Does he go back to Brahman or not? The teacher says, no. The ignorant person cannot go back, resolve in Brahman to Brahman. How can ignorant person merge in Brahman? If he says, then the student will think, what will he think? That means there is another cause. Brahman is not the only karanam. There is one more cause from which the ignorant person must have come, because ignorant person must be going back to that cause, because he doesn't become Brahman. He doesn't merge in Brahman. this will be his doubt. This will be his conclusion. The teacher says no. Or if this teacher says yes, ignorant person also will go back to Brahman, merge in Brahman. Wise person also will merge in Brahman. Everything should merge in Brahman if he says. Then ignorant person will think, what now? Why should we break our heads to study all the Upanishads and Shastram? Why do we need knowledge? Without knowledge also, I can merge in Brahman. Then Shastra study becomes redundant, meaningless. Therefore, such a tricky situation. Okay, these are the two questions he asked. The teacher hasn't said what answer the teacher gives, that we will not see now. And here in between, as I told you last class, Shankara brings in some other doubt, that there is the word prashnaha, questions, is in plural form. It's a plural word, but there are only two questions. That means the word prashnaha shouldn't have been in plural form. It must have been in dual form, because there are only two questions. But no, that is not true. The two questions are explicitly said there, presented there. The one question is implied question. What is that question? That question must be, because the one who does not believe in Brahman denies his own existence. Such statements are there in the beginning of the paragraph. So the Shankaracharya says, one more question implied there is there Brahman at all? It is very important. Yes, there is Brahman. It has to be established very clearly. Upanishad wants to establish there is Brahman. There must be a question, is there Brahman at all? Is there reality at all? Because so many atheists, non-believers, not that they are not wrong, because they are not able to comprehend. They are thinking differently. Only thing is they need the correct vision. Their perception has to be corrected, vision has to be cleared. Isn't it? It's natural for the mind to have such wrong thinking. Therefore, Upanishad has to establish that there is Brahman, there is reality. Only when the person accepts, yes, there is Brahman, then there is a need for him to know that, okay, I should know Brahman. And then only it is possible for him to get answer also. What happens to this person, the dead person, the wise person after the death? What happens to this? Now, other questions are answerable only if he first believes there is Brahman. Therefore, that implied question is taken as the first question. So, uta avidvan amum pretya kaschana gacchati. After the death, avidvan, ignorant person, kaschana, some ignorant person, gacchati, where does he go? Thus he merge in Brahman, return to Brahman. Vidvan kaschana gacchati. Then ignorant, knowledge, wise person also, does he go back and resolve in Brahman after the death? But the first question should be, is there Brahman? Brahma asti kim? And Upanishad is going to say, yes, Brahman is. But to establish the existence of Brahman, Upanishad presents 7 arguments. So the seven arguments for establishing existence of Brahman, which starts from here to, I told you, the last 8th anuvaka. 6th anuvaka, the rest of the soka mayata onwards. 7th, full 7th anuvaka, and 8th also. 8th anuvaka, mrityurdhavati panchama iti. Have you seen that? Mrityurdhavati panchama iti. Go to the 8th anuvaka. Mrityurdhavati Panchama Iti. Till then, Upanishad presents, gives an answer for this question, is there Brahman? From where? Sokamayata onwards. The sixth anuvaka, Sokamayata. From there, then the whole of sixth anuvaka, then the whole of seventh anuvaka, then go to the eighth anuvaka.
Bhishasmadvatav pavate bhishodeti suryah bhishasmadagnischendrascha mrityurdhavati panchama iti.
Till that iti. The eighth anuvaka, first two lines, okay? Mrityurdhavati panchama iti. Till iti. All this what now? An answer for is there Brahman? That question. Answer for the question, is there Brahman? Okay. Now, of the seven arguments, what is the first argument Brahman presents, the Upanishad presents? Brahman, Upanishad says, Brahman is the Nimitta Karanam of the Jagat. Therefore, Brahman is. Intelligent cause of the universe is Brahman. The universe is, existence of universe itself is the proof for the existence of Brahman. Like what? Like the table is the proof for the existence of carpenter. Even if the person is dead now, he must have existed once upon a time, isn't it? Therefore, the chain is the proof for the existence of the goldsmith. Any wooden furniture is a proof for the existence of the carpenter, because you all know doubtlessly the wood did not get cut by itself, did not know then all its small parts, bits, and all of them slowly moved towards each other and they got fixed by themselves and stood here as a table. Definitely not. Even the gold also, somewhere it was like on some biscuit and hardly it became a beautiful design chain. It did not become beautiful chain. And the chain by itself did not jump through your neck. I want to sit here only. The gold does not decide, okay, let me become a gold and bangle and a bracelet and maybe go to the wrist. No. That means what? It is the proof. Okay? Every creation is the proof. Every product is the proof for the intelligent cause being there. Similarly, the existence of universe itself is the proof for the intelligent cause of the universe being there. And the intelligent cause of the universe is none other than Brahman. Okay, nimitta karanam. Nimit jagataha nimitta karanatvat Brahma asti iti prathamaha vicharaha. Okay, it's the first reasoning. Okay. And that first reason, Brahman is the nimitta karanam of the jagat, that is presented where? Sokamayata onwards. Yadidam kincha. Till yadidam kincha.
Sokamayata bahusyam prajayeti satapotapyata satapastaptva idagam sarvamasrujata yadidam kincha.
Okay. Now, Brahman is the intelligent cause of the creation, nimitta karanam of the universe. That means, just as the goldsmith is the creator of the chain, just as the carpenter is the creator of the furniture, Brahman is the creator of this universe. Creator means, again, we don't say Brahman is the creator. There is no creator other than Brahman for this universe. That does not mean that the carpenter comes and he does some work to create this table. Whereas Brahman, without doing any action, by its mere presence, it is the intelligent cause of this universe. And any creation, before it is available for transaction, anything which is created before it's available for use, available for perception, understanding, it must have gone through the totally what now? Three stages. Only at the third stage, the creation is available for objectification and interaction and transaction. Like, as I told you last class also, how one has to have, first of all, the creation of something is not possible, production of something, manufacturing of something is not possible if there is no desire to create. The first there must arise what? Desire. Desire must be there. So desire is the first stage of the creation. Kama avastha, desire, creation is in the form of the desire first. And that desire also should not be a manda iccha, it must be a tivra iccha. Then only it becomes really, only then it becomes implemented. Tivra iccha. And what is the tivra, the manda, the iccha desire, and the desire is there. And after, once the desire comes, then one has to visualize what one wants to have. I want to go for a, no, I want to go, I want to do something, create something means, then afterwards you have to visualize. And what is visualization? Is all in subtle form, in the thoughts only, without doing any external action. You mentally, you see. As I told you last class, I want to have a house means where the house should be, how big the house should be, how many rooms the house should have, which room should be where, how the kitchen should be, how the toilet should be, how drawing room should be, everything you plan before you start. Go for construction. Therefore, even if you cannot do it by yourself, at least your architect, he gives you a clean, the picture of what you need to have. If you express your thoughts to him and he gives you a clean blueprint design for you, how the house would be. That means what? That part is called visualization. So planning, scheming, thinking, and everything becomes, it's called visualization. That is why here you have to understand, and that vision, that all that planning, scheming, visualizing, how it should be, how it should not be, everything until you decide, you start implementing your desire in the form of action. You plan. The planning takes so much of mind, the thinking is going on in your mind, that is called churning. No, churning of the mind. The churning in Sanskritam is called what? There is a verb, matnati. Matnati means what? Churning. Did I tell you last class? Okay. Matnati means churning. See, you all don't know churning like this. Okay, it's a village churning. Churning means you put, nowadays churning means everybody don't know what is churning. We put the butter in the, everything in the mixer, this liquidizer, they make the butter. But churning means those days you have to keep a stick and you have to churn like this. This is called churning. Big stick with a big pot. Okay, in a big pot, we have to put a lot of yogurt and also in the cream, etc. Then we'll churn. And churn and churn, churn, take the butter separately, leave the water as butter milk. Okay, this is called churning matnati, means this is called matna. Matnati. That's why mathu, also we say, mathanam, mathanam means churning. And you know, like how you churn outside, what is that which does the churning inside like this? Kadaidal, okay? What are the churns? It is the desire. Until the desire arises, mind is so quiet. Mind is so calm, isn't it? Until the desire arises, mind is calm and quiet. There is no turbulence in the mind. Only when the desire arises, then the churning begins. Desire arises, the churning begins. Why? Where should I? I want to have a house, the desire arises, then that desire is followed by other thought. That's called what? Disturbance, turbulence in the mind. Where should I have the house? How big it should be? Who should be the architect? Who should I find? Once you find also, and how big it should be, how much money I should spend, everything starts. That's called churning, isn't it? The visualization is called churning. You cannot visualize something if there is no desire at all. Visualization of what you want to do, what you want to have, is not possible without having the desire first. So desire alone leads to visualization of what you want to have. Is it? I want something must arise first. Only then there can be visualization of what I want to have, how it should be, etc. Isn't it? Therefore, the churning is caused in the mind, is caused, visualization is called churning here, is caused by what? Desire. That is why desire in Sanskritam is called manmataha. Manaha matnati iti manmataha. The one who churns the mind, churner of the mind is manmataha. Okay, all our Puranas personify, who is Manmatha? Desire only. Desire personified is Manmatha. And then, once you, the visualize, desire has come, visualize means what? Then you think of all that, how nice it would be if I have this, how comfortable it would be, everything is very clear, then that's all, you cannot sleep with until you get it fulfilled. Now, it's so attached to that thing, that's called Rati. Ragaha. Okay? Manmataha is always associated inseparably with what? His wife. Ratihi means Ragaha. Ratihi is a feminine gender word. Ragaha is a masculine gender word. Raktihi also is there. Okay? That's why passion and attachment, they always, husband and wife, they go together. That's why our Puranas immediately personify us what now? Look at this, Manmatha and Rati. We get them married. Anything which is not separable alone should be husband and wife. Inseparable is husband and wife until the death. Therefore, we get them married. Our Shastram, everything, anything inseparable, get them married. Make it husband and wife. So, Rati, Manmatha, desire, passion, and Rati, attachment. I can't be without it, without that object. That thought is what? Isn't it? I need it for my well-being. Finished. That's attachment. Therefore, anyway, I'm not going to the attachment business. Now I want just extra information for you. Let me come here. So, here also, the Upanishad so beautifully presents. See, creation of something is possible. You can't suddenly, you can't just create something. Even to make roti, you should first think, you know, what should I cook today? Then only you will go for roti. Even that is very quick. What should I cook today? Only visualization must be there. What should be for the lunch? What should be for breakfast? Then you go for such a simplest thing. Even for that, you need to have visualization. Nothing can be suddenly done, created like this. The creation of something presupposes visualization. And visualization presupposes desire. Therefore, desire, first stage. Visualization, second. Then creation. Only the third stage, third level, that creation is available for transaction, available for interaction, available for perception and association. Okay? That means, Brahman, the reality, if Brahman is the, even for the smallest thing, your house, your car, your anything, you must have, every creation must involves these three things called desire, visualization and creation. Means this jagat also, what no, must have been already visualized before it is brought into existence, and there must have been desire also. And where can there be desire on the part of something which is inert? Can desire by itself come into existence and jump and dance? For the desire to be there, there must be some substratum. Where does the desire arise? And where does the, you know, how does the desire lead to result in visualization? How that result ultimately becomes implemented in the form of action and in the brought into existence in the form of creation, product? We all say, just as you, human being, have the instrument called mind, where the desiring is possible, where does the desire arise? Instrument of desiring, instrument of visualization is what? Is called mind, antahkaranam for you. Just as you have antahkaranam, Brahman also must have had what? It's an antakram, antakaranam. Like individual mind you have, where the thinking is possible, visualizing is possible, therefore later on, that what you visualized becomes fulfilled also in the form of creation, product. So Brahman has the maya. Maya shakti is the icha shakti, kriya shakti, isn't it? Brahman has the maya shakti, is the mind, cosmic mind of Brahman is what? Maya only. Maya should be, maya is, that power is, creative power, maya shakti is there. The shakti is like your mind, where you can entertain desire. Therefore, with that power of maya, being inseparable from Brahman, how you cannot keep, I am sitting here, my mind is sitting there. Can you say that? Where is your mind? You can say, I am sitting here, my mind is here. It's not possible, isn't it? This mind is part of you, inseparable from you. Here also, similarly, maya shakti is inseparable from Brahman. Itself is the instrument of desiring, instrument of visualization also. Therefore, thereby the creation is possible now. So, Brahman also what now? Thought. Saha akamayata. So kamayata. So kamayata. Take it at one line, I had to tell you this much. Okay. So kamayata. So kamayata. Later on we will say there is no creation. But now we have to go with the Upanishad. Interesting. So kamayata means saha akamayata. He desired. Is Brahman he or she? Brahman is neither he nor she. He, she, it, that, everything is Brahman only, we know. But still, why use the word saha? Because saha, we are used, saha is a pronoun, which is a masculine pronoun. Saha is a masculine pronoun, meaning that. Okay? Therefore, why you are using saha? Because Ishwaraha. Who is Ishwara? Who is the Lord here? Brahman, the reality, is the Lord. There is no other Lord. Why do you call reality the Lord? Because the Lord has the creative power. If you have money, you are moneyed. If you have intelligence, you are intelligent. Is it? Similarly, also Brahman, he is Ishvara, the Lord. How? He has lordship because he has lordship over what? Power. Here also, because creative Brahman has this creative power, Brahma Shaktihi, Chichaktihi, Maya Shaktihi, this power is there, therefore Ishvaraha. One should say Maya. A single person cannot become the father. Single, definitely he must be married to become the father. Okay, so now Brahman also is what? Brahman is the only secondless, non-dual reality consciousness. We know, we know that. And if Brahman is the only secondless, non-dual reality, the consciousness, and how can Brahman, so therefore Brahman now is present as Ishvaraha. Why Ishvaraha? When you talk about the Shakti of Brahman, you call Brahman as Ishvara. Without talking about the power, you talk just about the reality, you can say Brahman, Brahma. When you talk about the power of the reality, power of consciousness, you make the consciousness powerful, then it is what now? You make it Ishvara. And you are not making it Ishvara, you look at it as Brahman is looked upon as Ishvara, with as the one which who is endowed with the power, creative power. Therefore, Saha Ishvaraha, Brahman, the reality, endowed with the power, the Maya Shaktihi, which is Icha Shaktihi, Jnana Shaktihi, Kriya Shaktihi, that Brahman, which is power of knowledge, power of activity, power of desiring, that being endowed with that power, Maya, Brahman is what? Ishvaraha, the Lord. And that Lord, Akamayata, desired. Akamayata is a past tense verb for Kamayate. Kamayate means desires. Ka Akamayata, past tense verb. It's Atmanepadam. Kamayate means desires, and Akamayata desired. Why desired? Because now the universe is there. We are sitting in the universe talking. Therefore, how? Brahman, not Ishvara, had a desire, had a wish. Akamayata. So, first desire. One, what was the desire? Bahusyam prajayeti. Bahusyam, bahu, I'm only one now, may become many. I don't know, you might have heard Pujya Swamiji saying, aham, singular, then get married, avam, we two, then we have children, we become vayam, many. Aham, avam, vayam. You cannot say vayam, remaining as what? Aham, okay? Aham should become avam, then you will become vayam also. You can say I vayam. Naan, namirivar, nangal. How will you say that? Naan, namirivar, nangal. In Sanskrit we have this three persons, singular, dual, plural. So, Bahu Syam. Syam means not our Radheshyam, okay? Syam. That is Syam. Syama. Sya. Palatal. This is Syam. Syam means may I be. May I become. Bhaveyam. Syam means Bhaveyam. May I become. Because we have to be very careful. When you do not know Sanskrit, I have to tell all these things. Because all the time we sing bhajans, Radheshyam, Radheshyam. That Shyamaha means, you know, dark color. Shyamaha, black color. But here, Syam is a verb of asti. Okay, imperative, this imperative of asti, first person. Asti is what? Syam means may I be. May I become bhaveyam, Syam. Bahu Syam means may become many. Bahu means many. The desire was there. The desire arose. for whom don't say Brahman has desire. Okay? Desire happened. In fact, you also cannot say, I have desire. You know that? I am, desire is, if you have to say. You can say, I have desire, you cannot say. Similarly, Brahman has desire, you cannot say. Brahman is, desire, Brahman was, Brahman is, desire happened. What was the desire? Bahusyam. May I become many. Palavaha avenaha. May I become many. Bahusyam. Bahusyam prajayeti. Prajayeti. Prajayaya. May have, may multiply, may become many. May produce many. Prajayaya, may I produce many. May become many. Bahusyam prajayayeti. This desire came first. And after the desire, how can I become many? How can I produce many? How can I become many? I was going to think. Satapotapyata. Satapotapyata saha tapaha atapyata. I have to spit it. Say now. Saha tapaha atapyata. Atapyata also means what? Tapyate means present tense verb. Visualizes. Atapatyata, he visualized. Then he had the visualization. Tapaha atapyata means he had the visualization. Who? The Lord. Which Lord? Brahman. Is it? The one Brahman, the reality with Maya Shakti, what now? Had the thought, the desire to become many, and then what? Then he visualized. Tapaha atapyata. And having visualized, that mechanism is not presented here. Having visualized, then what happened? Satapotapyata satapas taptva. Having visualized, he had the visualization, and having visualized, tapaha taptva, satapas taptva. Taptva means having visualized. Taptva is an indeclinable participle of the root tap. Taptva, having visualized. Enni paarthu, isn't it? Saha tapaha taptva, having visualized. Idagum sarva masrujata. Idagum sarva masrujata. Sarvam asrujata. He created everything. Which everything? Idam. He created this entire universe with all these things. Idam sarvam means this entire universe asrujata created. See, asrujata again is a past tense verb. What is the root? Sruj is the root. Srujate is the verb. Asrujata created, past tense. Atapyata, akamayata, asrujata, all are past tense verbs. What is present tense verb? Srujate, creates. Asrujata, created. So three stages. Created this universe, created all that is here, which presupposes what? The visualization, tapaha atapyata. And before that what? Saha akamayata. Akamayata, atapyata, asrujata. Three stages, okay? Akamayata, atapyata, asrujata. Idagum sarvam asrujata. Idagum sarvam asrujata. Yadidam kincha, yadidam kincha, Yad idam kincha, whatever little you see here, everything has been created by, everything has come into existence from Brahman. We will see here before that. So, yadidam kincha, whatever little that is here, it has come into, now he created this. And in this context, you have to think. The question should arise here again. Why did Brahman create, why did the Brahman have desire at all? We stop here, okay, every step we have to stop to have some our doubts cleared. Why did Brahman have desire? It is natural for ordinary individuals to have desire. Why did Brahman have desire? And why did Brahman create? Next question. Why did Brahman have the pressure of wanting to create? We all have some pressure, okay? We are helpless. Our pressure, it is natural because Brahman is of the nature of fullness. What our understanding now? Brahman is the absolute reality, which is of the nature of fullness, which is free from inadequacy. There is no inadequacy for Brahman in Brahman, isn't it? From fullness. Brahman is free from bondage. Brahman has no bondage. The desire is always a word associated with samsaraha, bondage. And desire is also associated with something called inadequacy. The fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist. Niraivum kurayum serndirukka mudiyadu. Isn't it? Aviruddha, viruddha dharmau ekasminneva vastuni na. Isn't it? Something which, the two attributes opposed to each other cannot coexist. Fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist. If there is inadequacy, definitely there is no fullness. If there is fullness, there is no inadequacy. But Brahman is of the nature of fullness, means there cannot be inadequacy. If there is no sense of inadequacy, then there cannot be, what now? Desire. Desire is not possible. Because it is the ignorance, isn't it? Brahman is free from ignorance also. And the sense of inadequacy is because of what? Ignorance. Ajnanam. There must be ignorance. Is Brahman also ignorant? Brahman is not ignorant, isn't it? Because Brahman is free from ignorance and knowledge. Therefore, if Brahman is not ignorant, because there must be ignorance. Ignorance alone can give rise to what now? Can lead to really ahankara. Only this ahankara, what ahankara then? Sense of inadequacy. And when the sense of inadequacy, then there can be desire. Then desire is possible, visualization is possible, then producing, creating, achieving is all possible. But why, no? How is it possible for Brahman to have desire? And how is it possible? Why did Brahman create? Why did Brahman have the desire? Why did Brahman create the universe? And here, there is a difference. When the desire born of for every human being, natural for every human mind to entertain desires. And the desires are natural because they are products of what? Expression of sense of inadequacy centered on I. The sense of inadequacy centered on I is because of self-ignorance. it is possible. Therefore, here we say ignorance born desire is called binding desire. Individual's desire is what? Our desires are binding desires. Whereas Brahman's desire is not binding desire. It is not born of ignorance, not born of sense of inadequacy. It is a non-binding desire. It is for the well-being. It is something which is within the realm of the order. A thought arises and it works. It's a non-binding desire. Because that desire is not born of ignorance. Okay, if you give the answer, why there is non-binding desire at all? Why there is a desire? If it is within the realm of the order, why there is such a thought? Why did it create? Because it is for the creation is for the fructification of the punya papas accumulated by jivas. All the jivas here are what now? Accumulated punya papas, and the punya papams have to be exhausted for the fructification of punya papas the individuals have accumulated. For the exhaustion of punya papas, then creation is a must. If you don't wake up from sleep, how will you have hunger? How will you finish the cornflakes in your cupboard? How will you eat? And how will you go out? How will you enjoy the sun or moon? Is it, if you are sleeping all the time inside the room, how will you know what's... There's no such thing called enjoyment. Because sleeping means there's no such thing called enjoyment of, isn't it? The world is not there. Similarly, the fructification of the punya papas accumulated by the jivas, for that purpose, Brahman created this universe. Then the question comes, why should Brahman be bothered about the fructification of? Because all the jivas are Brahman. Why did these jivas accumulate this? If the creation, the new creation, understand always, new creation is always in between two pralayams. Okay? The new creation, every creation is in between two pralayams. That means what? There was a creation which became dissolved. Again it's a new creation, which again is going to be dissolved. So creation, srishtihi, is in between two pralayams, two dissolutions. That means, the creation is for the fructification of punya papas accumulated by jivas, means, why did put these jivas accumulate punya papa? Because they performed actions, right and wrong actions. When did they perform right and wrong actions? In their, because what they are created now? No, there was a previous creation. They performed actions in the previous creations and they accumulated punya papams, and in order to fructify those punya papams, this new creation has come into existence. Oh, if the jivas have accumulated punya papams in the previous srishti, when did they accumulate? Previously. When? In the previous srishti. Which is the first srishti? When did they first accumulate the punya papas? This is where we are wrong. There is no such thing called first srishti. Here, because human mind is naturally given to linear thinking, that means every line has a beginning and every line has an end point also. Therefore, line means what? Straight line means has a beginning point, there's an end point. So we are off the, we are very much given to linear thinking. So we can, all our scientists also are very much given to linear thinking. We always think there must be beginning and there must be end also. But here, this linear thinking will not work. It's a cyclic process. Cyclic process has no beginning, no end. Therefore, never ever question which is the first srishti. Hereafter we become very slowly, every step we had to stop and analyze and we had to go ahead. There is no such thing called first srishti. There was a srishti and there were jivas and they performed actions, they accumulated punya papas, and there are unexhausted punya papas, and they have to be exhausted, and the pralayam happened, all the jivas resolved with having their punya papas unexhausted. Therefore, they have to come back again to exhaust the punya papas. That is why this srishti, every time srishti is what? Every time srishti is after the pralayam of the previous srishti. The new srishti is after the pralayam dissolution of the previous srishti. Therefore, there is no such thing called first srishti. There is no such thing called last srishti. It is a cyclic process. There is no which is the first, which is the last. You can never question. It is continuously, it is happening. Just as substratum for your desire, your visualization, for your mind, there is, you are the substratum for this mind. Similarly, the substratum for this whole creation and for the visualization, for even may become many that wish also, there maya all shakti, for that also there is substratum which is Brahman Ishvara. That means the whole thing is happening within in keeping with the law and order. The law and order is so well maintained, perfectly maintained. The fructification of punya papas means what? Such a very well calculated. Now, which shariram, each and every jiva has one's own, one's own punya papas to be exhausted. In keeping with the type of punyam, type of papam, nature of punyam, nature of papam, the jiva needs a given shariram. Cockroach, frog, or monkey, elephant, or a human shariram. That too, human, Africa or India or Europe or or Eastern Europe or England or London. My God, where, which parents, which grandparents, which family, where? Everything has to be decoded properly and everything has to be brought into existence. Why these parents? Why these grandparents? Why this family? Why this wife? Why these children? Why these parents? Everything is prarabdha. Prarabdhaya samarpitam. Everything is prarabdha decides. Why even sisters and brothers? Why not friends and even the guru sishya sambandha? Some punyam must, papam must be there for you to be here, to sit in front of me also. Punyamo, papamo, we don't know. We papam also don't know. Something must be there even for me to be here. Imagine, Who is this person? How I never thought, why would you get this church hall, this church apartment? I don't know how long. Everything is temporary only. Everything is impermanent. Still this church hall. This hall. Imagine, have you ever imagined that you will have class, Vedanta class in the church hall? So all what? What should happen? When should be exhausted? Which pleasure, pain should be exhausted? Where, how, everything is very well thought of. Visualization is not an easy joke, okay? Before, if you are a perfect creator, the architect is excellent person. When he gives the contract, comes and gives you the keys of the house, when you go open the house, you see so beautifully done everything. You cannot find fault with even, oh, this is not good, water is seeping here, nothing can you find fault. Everything is so, here you can find fault, okay? But with the creation, Bhagavan Srishti, so perfect. Why this person is like this? Why this person is like this? Why these moods are like this? Why this is like this? Everything is. That is why in India we say, no? Vandu vachade enakku idhil seidha. In the whole life, at last I got this person. You know, why? Prarabdha. Man or woman, lifelong punishment. You can't escape. Their marriage means lifelong imprisonment. Finished. Why? Because all pre-planned, pre-designed. See, Bhagavan is the excellent designer. You cannot, you may find fault. That is your problem. But he is completely perfect designer. And the whole thing has been designed so well. Fructification of punya papas. In order to exhaust the punya papas, the jivas have to come into existence. Means to exhaust your punya papa, what shariram you need, where you should be born, who should be your parents, what should be your neighborhood, where should you be working also. Sometimes you end up with some wrong bosses also, isn't it? Or right bosses also. And where the money for you is there, where you should get your money, where the water you drink should be Ganga or the Thames or rain, which water should be drinking? My God. Your punyam decides which air you should breathe also. Your papam decides. Everything. That's why. It's all for what? So much of designing, so much of planning, so much is there, means there is an intelligent cause. Isn't Bhagavan an intelligent cause? Isn't Ishwara an intelligent cause? It's not, class is not over now, anyway. It will become very clear only when I complete the whole Anuvaka. All the 7-6 arguments are present, it will become very clear. Next week I will not repeat what repeated today, because I need to repeat today, because I just left last class abruptly, that's why. Okay, nimitta karanam. The carpenter who visualized the, or even the person who works on the rock, piece of rock, a sculptor, he visualized even before he touches the rock, piece of rock. He visualized the whole murti, the whole statue, what he's going to carve on that. Completely, he's so thought when he does it, where the nose should be, how sharp the nose should be, how eyes should be, how the lips should be, how the hip should be, how the hand should be, how which part should come, what be the design. Sometimes our murti is not, even the jewelry and all designed on the very stone. Everything they design. Everything must have been thought of earlier. And he just touches, everything comes into being. Similarly, he also, the whole prapancha. Bhagavan is the architect. The best of the architects is Bhagavan. And in keeping with punya, papa, karma, intention, samskara, all those things, You are just, isn't it? You are blessed with this shariram. Isn't it? It's all preordained by the law and order. That law and order cannot exist outside of knowledge. And that knowledge is what now? Brahman alone. Therefore, here, saha akamayata, stapaha atapyata, tapaha tattva, idam sarvam asrujata. Idam sarvam means sarvam, you should say what? Sarvam asrujata. Not an easy thing, isn't it? Not only one being here. How many beings are there? How many varieties are there? How many species are there?
Idagum sarva masrujata. Idagum sarva masrujata.
Therefore, designing, visualization, thinking, even the very order cannot be outside of knowledge. Therefore, here Brahman is the nimitta karanam of the, that knowledge is what? Brahman. Therefore, we say Brahman is the nimitta karanam of this whole prapanchaha. You have break and come. Okay, we will quicken out, all the doubts come now. Jivas are born, continuously you are between two pralayams. One srishti, you are born so many times, you die so many times. Again, not you, I mean, there are so many deaths and so many births. And then there's a last, isn't it? And in pralaya, everything together becomes dissolved. Again, everything has to come into manifestation, isn't it?
Swami, the desires are due to vasanas, isn't it? That is the cause of the desires.
What is a vasana?
Vasana means, what you have, your imprint in your sukshma.
Yeah, unfulfilled. Vasana is nothing but unfulfilled desire. Unfulfilled desire is in the vasana, it becomes again surfaces. Or sometimes new desires come.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. It's there, but generally, here what we say, the desire is possible only for an ajnani. So, ajnanam, no ajnani, purushaha, and then the samsara is associated with the samsara. Only, there cannot be freedom and desire together. Where there is freedom from the hold of desire is freedom. Isn't it? Therefore, you can't say, I am free, I still have disease. No. What, isn't it? Being bound by desire is bondage actually. Being free from the hold of desire is freedom. Therefore, desire is something associated with bondage. And bondage associated with ignorance. And then how can Brahman have this here? That's the question came. So here, the Brahman's desire is not binding desire, it's a non-binding desire, it is not born of ignorance. That means, why is it? It is for the well-being of the jivas, means it is for the fructification of punya papas of jivas. And again the srishti comes into existence. Therefore, in this context, then your question comes, then when did jivas accumulate the punya papas in their previous lives? The previous lives means what? Previous lives. The previous lives means when was it? That means there was another srishti. So every srishti is preceded by the pralayam of the previous srishti. Therefore, there is no such thing called beginning. There is no such thing called end. There is no first srishti and the end of srishti. There is there's a srishti sthiti laya happens continuously. Okay, now next interesting thing comes. Listen, only then it won't be very clear now. Because we should not think how the pot maker sits there, takes the ball of clay and he makes the pot and keeps it away and he sits away from the pot and he looks at the pot. No. Bhagavan does not create the universe like how the carpenter creates his the furniture, how the pot maker makes the pot, no? You're going to see that. Having created, what did Bhagavan do? Look at this. What did Paramatma do? At least it will say something, little bit.
So kamayata bahusyam prajayeti bahusyam prajaya prajayeya iti saha tapaha atapyata saha tapaha taptva kama okay idam sarvam asrujata.
Paramatma created this entire universe, everything, all that is here, having visualized. Yad idam kincha. The kincha is such an important word here. Whatever little you find, everything has been already visualized perfectly. Means that one word stands for why we are going through what we are going through. All that has been well designed and well preordained, and that has come into existence. Okay. Now, interesting lesson follows now. Look at this.
Tat srishtva. Tat srishtva. Tat srishtva. Srishtva is again. Srishtva again is what? An indeclinable participle. No. Taptva. Having visualized. Srishtva, having created. Having created this universe. Tat means this universe. Idam saram, whatever is here. Having created this universe, tat srishtva. Having created this. Tadevanupravishate. Tadevanupravishate. Tadeva anupravishate. Having created the universe, that Paramatma entered into this universe. Tadeva having created the beings, Paramatma has entered into the beings. He entered into the things and beings. The word things stands for all the inanimate beings. Beings stand for all the animate beings. Paramatma, having created both living and non-living things, Paramatma has entered into all the things and beings. Tad eva anupravishat. Tad eva anupravishat. Anu means after having created, pravishati means pravishati, vish dhatuhu, pra prefix, pravishati, enters, praveshaha, entry, entrance, entering, noun that is, praveshaha, noun, pravishati, verb, pravishati, past tense verb, entered. This is very significant, important thing. It's called Anupravesha Shrutihi. Even in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we find this elaborately discussed. And Shankaracharya writes such a big bhashyam on this. And not only that, there are so many other commentators write commentary on commentary of this. That means what? Anupravishate. Now the question comes. We can't enter. We build a house, we enter into the house. That is true. But we come out also, isn't it? And then we are separable. So here Brahman, having created the beings, entered into the beings means what? Is it possible? It is possible. How it is possible? What do you mean by that? Entered into every being, all the beings means, it become Brahman, having created, has become as though one of the products. How? You have to use your own experience.
What experience? Dream experience. What are we doing? When you fall asleep, before you fall asleep, you are a waker. Once you fall asleep, is there waker or not? The waker is, but what happened? Who created this? Who is the creator of the dream? Is the dream world exists outside you? Existing outside you? Is there the dream world, Swapna Prapanchaha, existing outside of you? No. Is it existing inside you? Not even inside you. It is you. Swapna Prapanchaha is you. Just the vritti, thought only. You use your vritti and you create the Swapna Prapancha. And you create what? You create elements there. You create subtle, you create all the elementals. You create the living beings, non-living things in your mind. And you also what? You find yourself also. You have your own body, mind, sense complex also. You have your dream body, mind, sense complex there. You created the dream world, and how did you enter into the dream world? You created the dream world, and don't you enter into the dream world? You do enter into the dream world. How do you say I enter into the dream world? Because you also assume another body, mind, dream body, dream mind, dream sense complex. Dream body mind complex, because you see yourself as one of the beings of the dream world. See, when you are experiencing the dream, you are asleep, you are experiencing the dream. In that dream, you see you created the dream. Okay, created means what? Not like how the pot maker creates the pot. But just you are the intelligent cause, you are the material cause of the whole dream prapancha. You created the dream, and in the dream you have entered into the dream world. How? You are one of the products of the dream world. The whole dream world is your product, but you see yourself as one of the products of the dream world, having your own dream body mind sense complex. And then What do you see? You see as though the whole world is outside of you. You having your own dream body mind sense complex. You see yourself as one of the products of the dream world. Then you see the world, the dream world is outside of you. You cannot see the dream world outside of you if you do not have dream body mind sense complex. And when you see the dream world, the world being outside of you in dream, and don't you think that you are one of the products of the dream world? Not the dream world, one of the products of that world? Yes, you are one of the products of the world. And you do isolate yourself from that world. And the world is outside of you. Then what happens? You become a victim of fear, anxiety, tension, all of them, because you become scared of the dream thief, your own creator. Who is the dream thief? Who created the dream thief in a dream world? You are the creator of the dream world. And in the dream world, you created the dream thief. Is one of the products of your dream world, one of your own products. You created the thief, and that thief you created is chasing you in your dream. And you're running. And you're running, and another person, one murderer comes there. And murderer also is your own creator.
your own creation. You created the murderer and he comes with the, you know, the gun. And there is a temple. You created the temple and you run to the temple also to pray. You created the temple in the dream. You in my church or whatever it is, you go there to pray, and you get, and then there you have in the dream who you are, victim of the fear caused by whom? Whom? The thief or murderer? Who are the thieves and murderers? Who created the thief and murderer? Okay, swayam krita aparadha. Understand? Swayam krita aparadha means what? One's own, the wrong thing, isn't it? Your own creation, your own product. That means you are chased by the your own product, the thief. You are frightened by your own product. Called murderer. The person you are pleased by, who is the one who is pleasing you? And in dream also Varadarajan brings nice Dubai dates. Pleasure. Cook in dream. Okay, now become 8, no? Today will come, you see, today I know there's a big jumble of all dream. And he will not clarify I might dream. Bringing this dates for Chandi Puja. Something. The pleasure. And who has created that? My dream dates, dream Varadarajan, dream tasting. That's a pleasure. So that's what now? Sukham, dukkham, both are what now? Pleasure and pain, both are caused by what? My own products. Okay, my creations. I create the dream world. I means not creation. You can understand how there is a creation. There is a manifestation, isn't it, of the dream prapancha. And in the dream, and you are the source of manifestation, not outside of you, somewhere far from you, not without you. You are the very substrate of support. You are without you, the waker, there is no dream world. And the dream prapancha, and there in that, having projected the dream world, you have entered into the dream, assuming the dream body mind complex, and you become the victim of what? You enjoy pleasure and the pain also from your own products. The object of pleasure also is your own creation. The source of pain also is what now? Not the source, like the object of pain also is your own creation. And you also complain, really, this because of this person, because of the situation, I'm really upset and unhappy. I really love this, so nice it is. You say both. And so real, the pain you experience is so real for you. The pleasure you enjoy also is so real for you. When you lose, then you again, you miss it, and you worry. Radhiji gets a lottery ticket in my dream. He wins the lottery, at least in my dream. And then I get really so happy. My God, he was promising that somehow he'll get at least one room in central London. For Arshavidya. And then I immediately, first call, I call Peter G to tell him. Everything happens. Wake up. He only lost his ticket. On waking up, that pleasure, what happens? Where is the whole dream? So just as you create your dream world, you enter into your dream world, and you see your own creation as though outside of you, and you think your own products become objects of pleasure and objects of pain for you, and you become the victim of pain and pleasure. Your own. Understand? Similarly, in the same way, if it is possible for you in dream world, and how real the world is as long as you are asleep. Once you wake up from sleep, you laugh at your own whole situation. You know why? The whole dream, my God, everything is what? My own projection. And you see, nothing is there really. In the same way, now we are all what now? Bhagavan's disturbance in your sleep is your dream prapancha. Deep sleep state, undisturbed sleep means there is no dream. Similarly, in Mahapralaya, there is no disturbance at all. The whole prapancha is resolved. And slightest disturbance in yoga nidra, maya, is called what? Bhagavan's dream is this prapancha. Paramatma's dream, the whole prapancha is what now? Dream of Paramatma. Jivatma's sleep, you have Jiva Srishti, what? Your own dream. This whole, now what? Now it's all what now? All these are happening, Paramatma's dream. The whole waking experience is what? Dream only, Paramatma's dream. And when you wake up from sleep of ignorance of the self, you will know this whole prapancha also like the dream only. How on waking up from sleep, your dream, you understand the dream as dream only on waking up from sleep. When you are dreaming, the dream is not dream, it's real. Similarly, in ignorance you are a jiva. In knowledge you are Paramatma. In ignorance you are Jivatma. In knowledge you are Paramatma. In ignorance you have what now? Okay? Therefore, in knowledge, once you wake up from knowledge, you will see this waking universe also is what? Only like a dream only. Disturbance in the mind of Paramatma, Maya, Yoga Nidra is what? Is prapancha. Srishti. Something subtle, it will become very clear. Anyway, I will take my own time to do because I really want to. Next class, please see that none of you misses the class, okay? Because very important, Anupravesha Shruti. And then, because Shankara gives right, so much of Bhashyam on this, I mean, also in Brihadaranyaka and all that, this something very important, become very clear, so please don't miss the class. Okay? So, tadeva anupravishad. Tadanupravishya. Having entered. Like the dream, okay? Just understand how I create my dream. I enter into the dream and I become one of the products of my own dream creation, and there I become the victim of pain and pleasure of what now? Other products, my own products. Similarly, tadano pravishya, having entered, satchatya cha bhavate, satchatya tyatya abhavate. Sat means living, asat means non-living. It became, having entered, it became both all the living and non-living things. So here, first asrujata means created, that line implies Brahman being the efficient cause or the intelligent cause. And that became means that Satricha Tyatricha Abhavate. That line implies Brahman being the material cause. Goldsmith became the chain you cannot say. Can you say that? Goldsmith became the chain you cannot say. But you can say gold has become the chain. You can say that. Therefore, when you say Brahman became both Sat and Tyat, means both living and non-living things, means what? Brahman is the material cause of the universe. Whatever is, the material cause also is Brahman. And Asrujata created means, you can't say gold created chain. Can you say that? No. Therefore, Asrujata, that verb indicates Brahman being the efficient cause. Abhavat indicates Brahman being the material cause. Babhavat means became. Asrujata means created. This is the difference. Two different verbs, Asrujata, Abhavat. Two verbs indicate two different. You know, Brahman being the efficient cause or the intelligent cause, and Brahman being the material cause. Asrujata indicates Brahman being the intelligent or the efficient cause of the universe. Abhavat became, Brahman became both things means what? All living and non-living things means what? Brahman being the material cause of the universe. Nothing would have become very clear today. I know very well. So don't get confused. At least what you have learned today, oh, yes. How much you're chased and frightened in the dream, and you become pleased also by your own products. That, at least that one fact you understood today, think about it and then just stop there. Come back next class, everything become very clear. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya.